The views expressed on this program are the views of the individual broadcaster and by no means reflect the view of Wesleyan University or the WESU management. Hello, and welcome to Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, a progressive-minded radio show about faith and action, coming to you from Wesleyan University's WESU, 88.1 FM, Middletown, and WESUFM.org, providing community radio that matters. I'm Maria Johnson. Today, we consider one Catholic high school's decision to show no mercy when it comes to girls taking girls to the prom. The All-Girls Mercy High in Middletown, Connecticut, landed in the news recently when a student circulated an online petition seeking to take a girlfriend to the prom, which is scheduled for the end of this month. Though the administration compelled the petitioner to withdraw her demand, the repercussions linger on. Today, we'll talk with three people who favor lifting the ban on same-sex prom attendance. Victoria Scott, a Mercy High alum now living in Pennsylvania, who's taken up the cause. Marianne Duddy Burke, executive director of the organization Dignity, which serves LGBT Catholics. And Jim Bransfield, a lifelong Middletown resident who covers sports and writes a popular column for the Middletown Press. Jim, who happens to be gay, devoted a recent piece to the controversy. Sister Mary McCarthy, president of Mercy High, declined my invitation to be interviewed. We'll be back in a moment with the first of our guests, Victoria Scott. But first, I want to make a gentle pitch for your support of our spring pledge drive. From its start in 1939, it's been WESU's mission to air music and views you can't find anywhere else. And that certainly goes for this progressive-minded Catholic radio show. Please give what you can by going to WESUFM.org. Thanks.
Many dogs and cats spend endless days indoors staring at the wall, living for the moment when you will come home and tell them you love them, take them out, and make a fuss over them. Dogs and cats need physical exercise and mental stimulation, things to do and think about in order to be healthy and happy. Please set time aside for them and give them a real life and real love. For more information, please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals at 757-622-PETA or helpinganimals.com. That's helpinganimals.com.
There's no listener-supported community radio without listener support. Donate online at WESUFM.org.
Welcome, Victoria Scott.
Thank you.
Let me see if I've got the lay of the land. You got involved in this Mercy High School kerfuffle, if you will, not to minimize it, because, first of all, you're an alum.
Mm-hmm.
You graduated Mercy what year?
2013.
Oh, so not so long ago. Okay. And you became aware of this petition drive, but the petition has since been withdrawn. Do I get that right?
Yeah, it was actually created by a senior at the school, and within a day or two, it had already gotten 1,800 signatures, and it only needed 2,000. And the next day, she went into school. It was posted all over social media, and I guess she was fear-mongered and essentially bullied by the administration to take it down for fear of repercussion, really. So she had to take down the petition, and then someone else made another one.
Let me just interrupt for a moment. You say it needed 2,000 for what to happen?
So it's on change.org.
Yes.
And what that organization does is it allows you to create petitions, and then once you reach the goal that is set, so that one needed 2,000 signatures, they'll send it to wherever you're requesting. So the places it was being sent is Mercy, the Archdiocese of Hartford, the Archdiocese of Norwich, as well as the Pope.
Oh, good. Why not?
Yeah.
So this number 2,000 was one that was basically established by the gal, anonymous young woman, who started the petition.
Yes, I believe so. I've actually never created a petition myself on the website, but yes.
Okay. And then you say after she was bullied, to use your word, to withdraw it, someone else picked up the ball and ran with it?
Yes, Colin Bennett.
Oh,
he's on
okay.
the Green Party for the Senate of Connecticut.
Sure.
We're in touch as well, and he created it because he went to a Catholic high school when he was younger in Connecticut, and he told me that he actually dropped out his senior year because it was oppressive and wasn't a good environment for him.
So
it hit home with him as well.
Okay. And so where do you intersect with all of this?
When I was in high school, I had a lot of friends who were open members of the LGBTQ community, and I directly experienced watching them get called in the administration's office and came out in tears, and I wouldn't want to talk about why. Also, people who would go to prom, stag, and were questioned as to why they weren't bringing a date.
Really? So even going stag, that was actually one of the questions I had for you, was, you know, can people go alone? Or, I don't know,
it's an option, but it's really not deemed acceptable, because even when you sign up to go with stag, you get questioned as to why you're going by yourself. So they really push for you to bring a male date. And also, even if you don't want to go to prom at all, you're also questioned why you're not attending the prom at all.
Wow. That's interesting. Is it a money-making venture?
I really don't think it is. I'm really not sure what the whole drive behind it is, because with the way that it's set up and with what they are pushing, what they're teaching young girls is that they need a man to validate them. So they're essentially making it that if you don't bring a guy to the prom, then you're going to get questioned as to why not. So it's not even really, a lot of people are asking, you know, why are you making this an LGBTQ issue? And I mean, it is on some level, because that's what they're trying to question everyone about. But
right.
at the same time, it's so many other issues on so many other levels.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting. Somebody that I had on the show recently pointed out that it's very common for girls to dance with girls, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know, it just seems a little... what's the word? Micromanaging to even
yeah.
care about who you bring to the prom or don't bring to the prom. I mean, it doesn't really feel like it has any basis in Catholic teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's okay, you're not allowed to have sex, but you can't go to a dance? It just seems...
Yeah, that's the other issue at Newland, is that they're hypersexualizing the prom and making it like you can't bring another girl, though they're assuming that your sexual partners. But then if they're going to assume that, they must be assuming that young women bringing young men are sexual partners, and that's assuming that they're having premarital sex. And so in that regard, that's also not appropriate. So why is that deemed acceptable while bringing another young lady is not?
I think a lot of people, when they hear about the Sisters of Mercy, which run the high school, they think, well, that's pretty progressive order. Do you feel this is the sisters being strict, or are they kind of following their marching orders from the archdiocese, or I should say the diocese, because it's in the Norwich diocese?
You know, that's difficult to say, because they won't speak to us. I've tried to reach out to Sister Mary directly to talk to her, and they've really only talked to the news media saying that it's unsafe.
So unsafe.
I think they're just trying to, yeah, unsafe to bring other young women to the prom. Or it's for the student's safety. So I think it would be unfair for me to say who it is exactly.
Yeah.
But no one will even speak to me and try and figure it out. So I'm really not sure what the root problem is here.
What is it that you're doing toward...
What we're doing yeah. is... we have a social media campaign as well as a website to create awareness.
Okay.
And then since Collins, well, really to gain signatures on the petition, and since the petition has gotten enough signatures currently, it is being sent or has already been sent to Mercy. So we're kind of just waiting to see if they're going to respond, because you don't want to keep attacking someone if they're going to respond to something.
Yeah.
And give them a little bit of time and breathing room, but not too much, because prom is coming up soon.
That's right. Do you have contact with the gals who first initiated this campaign? How are they doing, if so?
I only did once, and for the most part, we've been trying to keep them out of it, just because we know some experience because a lot of the people that I've been working with are also alumna, that they can face repercussions. But I think that they're doing pretty well. This has been inspiring for them because it's showing them that people outside the community, the people who have been in this community, care and see that they want see this issue and know that they want to help them. So yeah. They feel that they're not alone in this.
Is there anything you think people ought to know about whether and why this is important?
Yeah, I think the most important thing to remember is that through the teachings of the church, it's supposed to be inclusive. That doesn't mean that you condone other people's sins, but as you've read in the Bible, I'm sure, and heard stories and testaments and teachings that, you know, Jesus sat with the sinners and Jesus spent time with those people. So we're not here to condemn each other and point fingers at one another. We're here to try and bring each other up and bring each other closer to God. So everyone going to the farm and having a good time, to me, is a good way to enforce that, that we're all going to be accepting of each other and trying to help each other out to be the best versions of ourselves.
Oh, beautifully put. Thank you, Victoria.
Oh, thank you.
You're listening to a discussion of same-sex prom-going at Catholic high schools, Threat or Menace. The all-girls Mercy High School in Middletown, Connecticut, has said no to girls taking girls to the prom or even going alone. This is Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, coming to you from community-supported WESU, 88.1 FM, Middletown, providing community radio that matters.
Me, a cat, moving in with a single guy. At first, I thought it might be a little weird, but turns out it's actually pretty amusing. For instance, like my human's gotten so used to me being around, sometimes I think he forgets I'm here. He'll get up for work, shower, shave, and come out with no pants. Plops right down in front of the TV. Hello, there's a lady in the room.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
I want to be your partner, can't you see? The music is just starting, night is calling, and I am falling, dance with me.
Welcome back, Marianne Duddy Burke.
I am so happy to be back with you, Marianne.
Well, I wish we had happier stuff to talk about. This is kind of an unusual little situation here in Middletown involving our own Catholic girls' school, Mercy High. I sent you the link to the article, and what do you think?
Well, actually, it's not all that unusual. It seems every year we hear about at least a couple of Catholic schools who get caught up in a dilemma about what to do about their LGBT students and who they bring to prom. It's always heart-wrenching to deal with this, but unfortunately, you know, it's just a sign of what Catholic schools are dealing with and the conflict that they feel about LGBTQI issues in this day and age.
Have those situations been resolved in various ways, or maybe one way particularly? How did they end?
Sure. There does seem to be a diversity of responses to this kind of situation. We have seen some schools get very rigid and just say, you know, in accordance with Catholic teaching, we cannot allow same-sex dates to come to the prom. We have seen other schools who do some reconsideration and allow folks to come to prom with whomever they choose as their date. And then we've seen some schools, some groups of students and parents usually get really creative and move the prom to another site or set up an alternative prom. So we have seen a range of responses to this situation.
Is part of the issue the locale being Catholic Church property?
I think actually the larger issue is about Catholic identity. And if a prom is seen as a school-sponsored event, does it conflict with Catholic identity to allow gay students to bring a same-sex date? but or that to isn't... allow trans students to come to prom dressed as who they really are. I think it's both a question of location and sponsorship. You know, if a group, if another group other than the school itself, you know, contracts for the space and sponsors the dance and it's under their auspices, then sort of, you know, that group is not answerable to the bishop, for example.
How interesting.
For its ability to continue to operate as a Catholic institution within that diocese.
So, for instance, if Dignity had the desire and the money, I guess, they could say, you know what, we're going to adopt Mercy's prom. And it's no longer Mercy's prom. It's just a prom sponsored by some other group, meaning your group. But you
exactly.
don't.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Interesting.
You know,
and some schools have said, sure, let's do that.
Well, I think sometimes it has been, for example, I remember a situation in Detroit where a group of alums put on a prom for the Catholic students that. You know, became just sort of a parallel event. I think in that case, there actually sort of was, you know, a small official prom sponsored by the school, and this this alongside event wound up being the larger event,
so,
an all-inclusive prom that everybody was welcome.
Wow. I love it that that was the larger prom.
Yeah, there was a lot of support for, you know, for the queer students who wanted to have a prom where everybody was welcome.
Huh. You know, I don't have to tell you, you're a Catholic, you're a lifelong Catholic, right?
Yes.
So you're aware that the Sisters of Mercy are among our cooler, hipper orders of nuns.
I happen to know, I am in fact a Mercy alum. I went to a Mercy High School in New Jersey that also was the mother house. So I have a long relationship with the Sisters of Mercy and know them to be among the most justice-oriented, you know, people in the world. And I imagine that this situation is really troublesome to them.
Yeah.
You know, I think many orders of nuns and many diocesan priests or folks working in diocese feel very caught in situations like this between what they see as their duty to the bishop to be able to protect their Catholic identity and their ability to serve the community in general, and what they believe to be the best way to serve the students and the communities that they serve. I know the Mercies are doing, and as are many orders, are doing a lot of soul searching about how do they respond to these issues.
How do you know?
These days. Because I've been in dialogue with a number of administrators of Mercy facilities, whether they be schools or hospitals or Catholic charities or organizations. You know, they're very much aware that these issues come up and are trying to figure out how to handle it and often feel enormous pressure from the places in which they operate. So I don't know in this particular situation what conversation the administrator has had with a local bishop or any other local authorities, but that could well be playing into what's going on in Middletown.
Right. I mentioned the cool hipness of the sisters because I had just the briefest email exchange with the president of Mercy here, and she politely declined to be interviewed. And I mean, I kind of knew going in, I just wanted to give her the benefit of asking. And I honestly just feel a little sorry for her, as much as, you know, I think anyone should be able to go to the prom. I went to the prom a couple of times with people who were not my, you know, romantic love interest. They were just friends. And in a certain way, why should, well, we could talk about that. But anyway, I guess what I'm getting at.
Well, I think it actually is important to talk about because, you know, I think the prom has so many meanings associated with it.
Yeah,
whether you're heterosexual or, you know, or non-heterosexual, whether you identify as LGBTQ in some way. You know, there, you know, there's this whole mythology about prom, and it has sort of this heightened sexual tension to it, you know, and that can be true for some of the attendees, and for others, it's really a time to celebrate all that they've been through in high school, you know, to be with their friends. And, you know, I think sometimes we as a society put so much onto prom that we get very caught up in this, these issues of sexuality. And, you know, I guess I would ask, you know, are we applying the same standards to heterosexual kids as to kids who identify as LGBTQ? You know, for me, a lot of it is about, you know, are we carrying forward mythology that gay kids are more likely to be sexual around prom than heterosexual kids, which, you know, is really a fallacy. You know, and you know, do we tolerate behaviors from straight kids that we wouldn't from kids who are or who are perceived to be gay?
Well, you know, that's an interesting...
More, you know, I mean, I think there's a lot of that kind of stuff that gets mixed into conversations like this and that heightens the tension. And sometimes it just, we need to kind of step back and say, you know, what is this really about? And how do we create an environment that is safe and supportive for all kids?
I see your point. I take your point. At the same time, I happen to teach teenagers. They're college kids, but still. I know how they roll a little bit. And maybe I'm projecting my own proclivities here. But if I were attending an event that, you know, intentionally or not, makes a kind of political point, wouldn't I be inclined to exploit the opportunity by, you know, making out on the dance floor with my date just to be kind of sticking it to the man, you know? and you is know, that a problem even? I mean, maybe it's not even a problem. Why should we care? But I don't know. I can just see...
Yeah.
How hard this is.
Well, then if the sponsoring institution, whether that's the school or somebody else, sets up standards of behavior, those standards need to be applied to all of the participants equally.
Yeah, right. You know, so no making
you know,
out.
So if the school says, as some schools do, you know, no public displays of affection on the dance floor, you know, then it applies to everybody. I mean, I come from the day when we literally had a nun walking around with a ruler, you know, that would be inserted between any couples that were felt to be a little too close on the dance floor, you know, until that sort of final dance where you were allowed to slow dance and, you know, and it was about 2.5 minutes long, and then everybody was ushered out, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, so I certainly have those recollections, and, you know, we all joked about making room for the Holy Spirit and all of that kind of things, but I think it was a way to sort of manage the behavior and have things going on that were consistent with the school's beliefs and all of that.
And that's, you know, actually the problem. The school's beliefs, mm-hmm, by extension, have to be the beliefs of the Catholic Church. And there's the rub, you know, that the Church does not smile on. Well, interesting. There's nothing in the Church rules that I know of about having same-sex dates. You just can't have same-sex sex, right?
Well, that is the rub, sort of, you know, where do you draw the line? You know, why is it any different for, you know, we know that there are gay kids in Catholic schools, there are transgender kids in Catholic schools, and how does the school serve them in the same way that it serves other kids? again, I think we have to look at, you know, standards of behavior and what is allowed and what is not for all kids.
Right.
You know, here.
But, you know, it doesn't come up in the course of a normal school day because your mission is just to be there and have friends and learn geometry.
Sure.
It's only when we get into these almost wedding-like situations, you know, I mean, in a way, prom is kind of a precursor to your wedding, and in fact, you know, including the honeymoon.
Well, and I think that's, you know, that's the challenge. I mean, and when we talk about the church, you know, we're talking institutional church laws. I mean, I think if we think about the church as the people of God, most Catholics, you know, readily acknowledge that there are gay kids in the mix, lesbian kids in the mix, transgendered kids among the students, and, you know, that they need to be safe and supported at Catholic schools,
yeah.
And that they should be welcome at school events, you know.
Right.
And, yeah, I think it does become an issue when we're talking about anything that has to do with sort of explicit displays of sexuality and gender, you know,
right.
And this comes up, it comes up in religion classes, as you talk about sacraments, it comes up in health classes, when, you know, what sexuality, what expressions are we going to be talking about?
Right.
You know, these are issues that the schools need to confront, and they need some guidance, and they need some support, they need some input, you know, from the alumni community, you know, they need to hear about what are the experiences of lesbian alums who have been through these schools. What was it like for them to be there? What were social events like? What would they have needed to hear in religion classes, in health classes, to help prepare them for their lives? You know, how can their sexuality or gender identity be acknowledged and supported in those classes in a way that draws on the values of our Catholic faith? These are
right.
big questions, you know, and they do need some intensive processing, some collaboration with outside experts. And, you know, we know that these are not things that many Catholic schools had to deal with, you know,
right.
even 10 or 20 years ago.
This is a conversation about banning same-sex prom going at Catholic schools. Marianne Duddy Burke, Executive Director of Dignity, which serves LGBT Catholics, says Mercy High in Middletown, Connecticut is far from the first to be dealing with the subject. Back in a moment with Marianne. This is Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, coming to you from the Pacifica and NPR affiliate WESU, 88.1 FM, Middletown. Thanks for listening. Back in a moment.
Like what you hear on WESU 88.1 FM? Consider making a donation. WESU is an independent, non-commercial station that relies on the generosity of listeners like you. You can donate online at WESUFM.org or by mailing a check to our Broad Street address, which you can find on our website. Thank you again to our listeners for keeping us alive and thriving on the airwaves since 1939. We appreciate your support.
Back in 1957, we had to dance a foot apart. And they hawked us from the sidelines, holding their rulers without a heart. And so with just a touch of our fingers, all we could make our circuit. All we ever wanted was just to come in from the cold.
Come in, come in,
come in,
come in,
oh, come in from the cold.
I mean, in a sense, now that you say that, the fact that we have to deal with them is maybe progress.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at
because
it.
Because in the past, you couldn't even be talking about it. It was totally so aberrant.
Right, right. My kids find it absolutely amazing that I went all the way through high school and never heard the word lesbian, that I got out of high school having no clue that this whole realm of homosexuality and gender identity and, you know, even those words sound old-fashioned now.
Yeah.
But, you know, if there was any language around it when I was in high school, you know, it was all about shame and, you know, sort of whispered conversations in the hall. And I somehow managed to be oblivious even to that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's a very different world.
I've checked out Mercy's website. It's just full of verbiage about respecting and expressing and accepting and helping others be themselves. And
I think that more and more students are really pressing our Catholic institutions, our Catholic schools, to examine what those mission statements and what those values really mean.
Right.
When you're somebody who falls outside, excuse me, of the heteronormative kind of standards and assumptions that most of these institutions were founded upon. And I really think that the schools who manage this successfully are the ones who are able to go back to those mission statements, to those value statements, and to talk with their communities and say, what does this mean now? Not when we were founded, not 50 years ago, but in the 21st century. How do we truly serve the people of God with the values that we are called to express and that our community wants to express? And I think that's a really important conversation for lots of institutions to be having at this time.
Including the greater church.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's not,
and there's, you know, it's not always easy, and there are a lot of differences in opinion about this, and lines will be drawn in different places. But sometimes even just the process of having these conversations is really empowering, and there's a creativity that can come out of really hearing one another in this kind of conversation. What is not helpful is when an authority figure just becomes really rigid about his or her own interpretation of what those values and mission statements and church tradition means, and just refuses to engage anybody else in the process.
Does dignity offer itself as expert help in conversations like this?
I will say that we have engaged in conversation with many Catholic school administrators who are trying to figure out how to navigate very choppy waters in this environment, you know, and know that many of them feel tremendously caught between what they know in their hearts to be the right thing to do and a real fear of pressure, often exerted by either a very vocal traditionalist kind of community member or outsider, or from a local bishop who has told them, this is what I expect of you if you are to retain the ability to serve in this diocese as a Catholic institution.
Wow.
So there is a lot of pressure on these administrators, and I think this is a place where the laity have some real authority here. And, you know, by us speaking up and talking about how we interpret those values and why we believe that compassion, inclusion, tolerance, real respect are important and are consistent with our faith and with the gospel, that can help move the conversation along.
What a blessing you are.
Well, how nice of you to say that.
You have any idea?
Well, honestly, I think, you know, the students who brought this question to the fore, and, you know, from what I've read, they really seem to be trying to do this in a way that respects the school. They clearly love the school.
Right.
And they want to make the pathway easier for students to follow them. You know, the alumni have stepped up in support. There is a conversation happening.
Yeah.
I hope it's happening within the school community.
Yeah.
And I hope they're able to come to a resolution that really lifts everybody involved in it up.
I hope so. We are talking in mid-March. The prom is in late April. Who knows how things will unfold between now and then, but I'll keep you posted.
Let's hope for a good outcome for everybody.
Amen. Thank you, Marianne Duddy Burke.
Thank you, Maria. Always good to speak with you.
If you're just joining us, we're unpacking the issue of why lesbian teens at Mercy High School in Middletown, Connecticut, can't take their girlfriends to the prom. Our next guest is Middletown journalist and former high school teacher Jim Bransfield, who wrote a piece on the subject for the Middletown Press. This is Reasonably Catholic, Keeping the Faith, coming to you from Wesleyan University's WESU, 88.1 FM, Middletown, providing community radio that matters since 1939. Thanks for your support.
It's a medical breakthrough, a doctor's prescription to help prevent cancer and improve survival rates. But you don't go to the pharmacy, you go to the supermarket for fruits, vegetables, and other high-fiber vegetarian foods. Side effects may include increased energy, healthy weight loss, and lower cholesterol. For a free recipe booklet, call 866-906-WELL or visit cancerproject.org. This message brought to you by the Cancer Project, committed to preventing cancer and improving survival.
Welcome, Jim Bransfield. Good of you to come in.
Nice to be here on this lovely spring day.
First of all, why don't we establish your credentials to talk on the subject of Mercy's prom. Have you lived in Middletown a while?
Well, I've lived here a while. I'm 71 years old, and I lived here 71 years, so that's probably a while.
Okay. Those are pretty good bona fides. So what is your sense of Mercy High in terms of its being a part of the fabric of the community, is it?
Oh, yeah. No question about that. I think people in Middletown are fortunate. First of all, the presence of Wesleyan is, I think, significant. But I also think the schools are excellent. Middletown High School is a very good high school. Mercy is a very good high school. Xavier is a good high school. Vinyl Tech is one of the leading technical high schools in the state. So I think people in Middletown and in the greater Middletown area, you know, are really fortunate, specifically to Mercy. I have nothing bad to say about the people there. Sister Mary, the president, I've known her for years. A wonderful lady. I would call her a friend.
You have a special relationship to the high schools because you're a columnist and a sports writer for the Middletown Press.
That's right. I cover area high schools, and I cover Wesleyan football, and I cover just about every sport. I was a high school teacher for 36 years, and then just for fun, taught 9 more in the alternative high school at Middletown High, and then was a paraeducator for learning disabled, autistic, and intellectually challenged kids at the high school for 9 years. So, kind of fun.
For the record, I did reach out to Sister Mary on the subject of the prom, and she very graciously declined, and I wasn't surprised. You know, her hands are probably tied. In your piece about this issue, this controversy, if you will, you start in an interesting way. Tell us.
Well, I waited, and I wrote that I waited to respond. I waited a couple of weeks. I've learned, well, maybe I've learned not to fire things off right away. I do
you
that.
You did have a visceral reaction.
Oh, I did. I had a visceral reaction, and I typed something that never got sent, and then waited because I wanted to see how this would sort of play out. And I think time gives one a little bit of perspective. And
you're a wise man.
Well, not everybody thinks that, but in any case, thank you. In talking about the issue, the idea that Mercy High School, as an institution and as part of the Diocese of Norwich, which I think has to be pointed out, declined to allow a same-sex couple, one of the kids was a student or is a student at Mercy, to attend their prom. And I'm sure this is not the first time that this has happened at private institutions or Catholic or Christian high schools. I'm sure it's not the first time. But the young lady went public. And by virtue of going public, it became a rather significant issue that ended up with TV trucks outside of Mercy High School and scurrilous folk like me writing in publications about what happened. It's really a macro and not a micro problem in that America's 60 million Catholics, of which I am one, there are 59,998,999 more, are living in a society in which same-sex marriage is as legitimate as straight, for lack of a better term, marriage. Even in Alabama, it has to happen. And I think the institution finds itself at odds with the social ethos that exists in the country. And it's clear that a very significant majority, and I use the word majority because I think it's true, of Catholics in the country pick and choose the beliefs that the church teaches. The church, for example, to interest another, is clearly opposed to abortion of any kind. Yet heavily Catholic states like Massachusetts and Connecticut and Rhode Island vote overwhelmingly for pro-choice politicians. And I often wondered, it's not my line, I read it somewhere, I often wonder what priests think when they look out at their congregation on Saturday afternoon or Sunday morning and see mom, dad, and two kids, when they have preached that contraception is an evil. Well, those parents with two kids ain't just lucky. You know, I mean, and so you look out on it, and obviously, many Catholics practice family planning. Many Catholics support same-sex marriage. The LGBT people I know come from a variety of faiths, and I think the Mercy High, and I'm sure other high schools have done this, find themselves in a position of having to obey the church teaching in a society that pays it lip service.
Right.
And I find
that. What do you advise in your column?
Well, I actually advise that Mercy let the kids dance. I mean, that was, you want to get to that the last line, that's what it was. But I think there has to be a discussion. And I guess I'm part of it, a small part of it. But there has to be a discussion about this. And particularly when you look at Pope Francis, who has said things like, we should apologize for how we've treated gay people. And he said, if a person is gay and truly seeks the Lord, who am I to judge? The interesting thing is that at Mercy High, girls have gone to dances in couples and in groups in the past.
Right.
I mean, they've all done that. They've all been Mercy High students. I just have a real problem with it. I mean, I just have a real problem with it. And you know, if you don't carry the assumption that we're talking about a gay or lesbian child here and just a couple of kids going to the prom, then you don't have an issue. I mean, I don't think you have an issue. Why would you have an issue? But I think that requires a mental leap. I mean, because I think what's happening is there are institutions such as the Catholic Church who's same sex. Oh, they must be gay. Well, maybe they are, and maybe they're not. And why is it your business? I mean, you know, it just seems to me. I mean, I have, you know, I spent a long time teaching at Middletown High School, and at Middletown, and this is not to make Middletown any different than any other public high school. If two girls want to go together, if two guys want to go together, if you want to go stag, if you want to go in groups of four, if you want to go in a herd of 20, you can go. All you do is buy a ticket. And that's fine. I mean,
Does Xavier have this problem? I haven't heard any static.
My guess is that they would enforce the same rule, that just that no boy has come out and said, I'm bringing a boy to the prom.
Right. Started a petition.
Yeah. Or right. And then had other people pick it up and go viral with it. So do I know that they had that problem? No, I don't. Yeah. Do I think they've probably faced that? Does the sun rise in the east? I mean, sure.
What's to be done? I really feel for Sister Mary.
I do too. But she is a grand lady. That sounds like a sexist term, but she is. Yeah. And my guess is, having talked with Sister Mary about other issues at other times, she's not a conservative Republican. Let's just put it that way. She's not.
Right.
And I think, however, she has no choice. And I'm not sure it's a choice of great angst. I don't know how Sister Mary feels about LGBT issues. I never had the discussion with her. It doesn't come up at a basketball game usually. I mean, it doesn't come up at a soccer game. Nor should it. Nor should it come up at a dance, it seems to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if you just have the event, you sell tickets.
Kind of a don't ask, don't tell.
God, I hate that term.
I know.
No, but I think I think you get yourself on a slippery slope when you go out trying to determine orientation or motivations or anything else.
Yeah.
If a kid wants to come to the prom, she should come to the prom. And Mercy does have a history of allowing kids to bring dates from outside the school.
As long as they have the right equipment.
That's a good line. but the statement that was issued by Mercy at the time seemed to imply that the only other ones that could come to a Mercy prom were from Xavier.
Huh.
And that's not true. I mean, I can name kids from Middletown High and went to the prom.
Right.
In fact, a former student of mine who is now a clinical psychologist actually sent me an email, the contents of which I will leave out, except to say that he went to the prom when he was a senior at Middletown. He went to Mercy's prom. So the idea that kids from outside the school can't come, if that's what the statement said, is not supported. In fact, apparently it's you can come from outside the school if you're not a girl. Apparently you can't. I mean, clearly you can't.
It's so complicated, you know, when you start making these rules.
Yeah. And you know, I got in the column, I talked about, you know, the wording in the catechism about homosexuality, and it's, you know, it's intrinsically disordered and can never be approved. Now, some will say, you know, that wording from the catechism refers to not a status, but behavior, which I always found to be a distinction without a difference.
Right.
I mean, you know, if you're going to tell me, hey, it's okay that you're gay, but you can't do gay, on what planet are you living? I mean, it's just not
mean.
Well, it's just, you know, it's just interesting. I read a good book a few years ago by Jimmy Breslin about the Catholic.
God rest his soul.
Yes. About the Catholic Church, and the title of the book was "The Church That Forgot Christ." Mm. Really interesting book. He took some, you know, positions obviously in the book, and one of the things he said was that whatever the church seems to talk about, they always seem to give back to abortion all the time.
Mm.
That's one thing he said. Another thing is he spoke about how the practice of St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City of closing its doors at 8:30 or 9 every evening, even in the dead of winter, chasing all the homeless people who, if you've ever been to St. Paddy's, there are homeless people there during the day, chasing them out onto the streets. That bothers me a little bit. And he also said something in the book that I found really interesting. He spoke about seeing Christ in homeless people. I remember a line there. He said, I saw this homeless man a couple times, and I'm sure it was Jesus, which I found really interesting. Because, you know, in the Creed, there's the line about Christ will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And I think our definition of glory is, you know, the heavens open up and there's chariots and all that. Maybe the church's definition of glory is a homeless man someone with AIDS, maybe walking into the chambers of the Holocaust, and maybe when it says that Christ will come again in glory, that's glory, and he's coming all the time, not some Tuesday in the future. I'm getting a little carried away here, but I
thought you were heading towards saying he's coming in a prom dress to the Mercy prom.
Well, I didn't say that, but that'd be a hoot, wouldn't it?
But really, it is what you're saying.
Yeah. The teaching that gets me all the time is love one another. Love one another as I've loved you. I hang my head on that one. I see far too much hate. I've experienced it. I've seen it. It's happened to me. Coming out of a bar in Hartford once, a gay bar in Hartford one night, I was walking down the street, and a guy walked up to me, grabbed my glasses off my face, and said, "That'll be $20, faggot, or they're going in the street." I was glad I had $20.
Wow.
Glad I had $20. Another time, a whole series of car windows were smashed outside of a club, and I called police. They said, "We'll send someone. Where are you?" I told them. There's a little bit of silence. Said, "Well, we can't spare anybody right now." Mm-hmm. So you can come down to file a report if you like. I think when you've seen that, and then when you see other things happening, you know, LGBT kids, the first thing they learn is shame. They should be ashamed of who they are. Well, damn it, I'm here to tell you you shouldn't be, you know? And
do you think this prom policy creates a feeling of shame?
Absolutely. Because what it does is it marginalizes kids. You can't come to the prom because why? Because of who you are. That's marginalization. I mean, it just is. And again, I'm not saying that the school itself is guilty. But I don't know if guilty is the right word. But I think the institution itself needs to look at the society in which it exists.
The institution meaning the greater church.
The greater church, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, this is, you're living in a society that, I'm looking for the right verb here, celebrates same-sex marriage. And I realize that parts of the society have a real problem with that, and I know there are some states that have passed laws that are just appalling. North Carolina, you know. But I think I'm going beyond, the parameters of the mercy issue. But the mercy issue, and I tried to do this in my column, was to say that my opinion piece, actually, that mercy is just a piece of a larger issue. It's not, right. It didn't invent this. It's not pursuing it with a vengeance. School's not being mean-spirited. They're kind of going along.
Yeah.
And I was struck by the number of Mercy alumna who, I'm assuming that they say they are, so I assume they are, who condemn the policy and who talked darkly about things that happened, you know. It's easy to talk darkly, but
things that happened to them as lesbians.
Them as lesbians at the school or of people that they knew. Now you're talking hearsay twice removed, so, you know, yeah. I mean, things can get carried away here. But I think it's a real... You know, bottom line, why can't same-sex couples go to a prom? That's all I like to know. At the end of the day, I'd like to know why they can't. I have talked to Mercy folk off the record. It'll stay off the record. And I'll just leave it at that on this issue. And just leave it at that.
They're with you.
Excuse me?
Can you tell us where they land on the subject?
How can I say this? No, I can't tell you, but I did not walk away from our discussions dissatisfied.
Thank you, Mr. Bransfield.
Thank you. My pleasure.
That's all for this discussion of same-sex prom going, or rather, not going. Many thanks to our guests, Mercy High alum Victoria Scott, Dignity Executive Director Marianne Duddy Burke, and Middletown Press writer Jim Bransfield for their insights. Reminding you that we've kicked off our spring pledge drive and would so appreciate your showing WESU some love. Please go to WESUFM.org to donate. Thanks. I'm Maria Johnson. See you in 2 weeks. Now stay tuned for The Jive at 5, followed by The Soul Spoke with DJ Skaz.